This morning we read in Deuteronomy about the sons of Israel preparing for battle. Out on the battlefield, looking out across at horses and chariots and an enemy more numerous than their own army. And then the priest comes out to give them encouragement that it is the Lord who will be fighting for them. And the priest reminds them, Yehovah thy God is with thee. Yehovah your God is he which goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. So the priest reminds them of who really is going to fight for them against those enemies. But then did you hear what happened next? The officers would come out to the sons of Israel ready for battle, and then the officers would ask about three different things to make sure that every man who was there was ready to fight. They would say, those who have built houses but have not yet dedicated them, go home because you're not quite ready to fight. And then the second thing these officers said was, those who have vineyards but have not yet begun to use them to gather in the fruits and make wine from their vineyards, go home, you're not quite ready to fight for the sons of Israel against these enemies. And then the last one was those men who were betrothed. They needed to go home and be married to their wives before they could come out to the field of battle and follow the Lord to victory against the enemies of Israel. Now, these three requirements for eligibility of combat for the ancient armies of Israel are actually three requirements that we read the Lord has for us too before we're ready to follow the Lord into the spiritual combat of temptation. These are three things that apply to each one of us, as well as we heard in Apocalypse Explained. And if we do these three things, just like the sons of Israel when they followed the Lord, we'll be able to follow the Lord and conquer in temptation too, because we are following him into spiritual battle. So let's take a look at that first requirement: to build a house, but not yet have it dedicated. What does it mean to dedicate a house? We can think about our house as where we are who we really are, where we live, who we are in our lives. And if our house is dedicated to the Lord, then our lives are dedicated to doing good from the Lord. And oftentimes there are actual services where a family will move into a new house, and there'll be a worship service to dedicate that house to the Lord, where special teachings from the sacred scripture about how a house and a home can be devoted to the Lord are read, and where a special prayer is said to the Lord to help him fill that home with the Lord's love so that good will be done there. And then even a copy of the Word can be dedicated to worshiping the Lord in that house. And this is a way of thinking about exactly what it says here, that our homes should be dedicated to the Lord, that our lives should be dedicated to trying to do good from the Lord. And this kind of state is a state that prepares us to follow the Lord into spiritual combat. Now we can see how this works. In a simple example, if we do good for ourselves versus doing good for the Lord, if the good that we do is dedicated to the Lord and not ourselves, we can think if we're entering a building and we see somebody who we don't know, that has maybe something in their hands so they can't open the door, or maybe it's someone who's not strong enough to open it, so we open it for them because there are people who are watching. And we think, well, they'll think badly of me if I don't help this person out, so they go in. Now, is that kind of good going to stand up in the face of temptation if it's only coming from making ourselves look good? It's a simple example, but we can see how it works. When no one's looking, we may not even think of holding the door for that person, of doing that simple good thing for the person. That's not the kind of good that's dedicated to the Lord. It's not the kind of good that can survive spiritual combat. But if we do the good things that we do, whatever they may be, from the Lord for our neighbor, then we can be prepared to follow the Lord into spiritual combat when those evil spirits are trying to convince us not to do it. Now we can think of the next requirement for being ready to be a soldier in the Lord's army against the evil spirits, where we have planted a vineyard but have yet to use it. So what comes from a vineyard? Grapes come from a vineyard. And what do you do with the grapes of a vineyard? They're made into wine. And what does wine represent? Wine represents the divine truth from the Lord. So if we have a vineyard, the Lord's saying, go back to it and drink in those truths from the Lord and make them our own before we're ready to follow him into the combat of temptation. And we can think of an example of this too. It's the difference between simply having a vague sort of knowledge of the Lord's truth versus making what the Lord teaches our own. And we can think about the Lord himself when we think of an example of this. We can have some sort of foggy, vague idea that there is a God. That's like planting a vineyard. But taking in the divine truth of the wine of your vineyard is knowing who that God is. Knowing that he is the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing his name is taking in the divine truth of the Lord's word. And then being conjoined with him is going to him when you need help. Speaking to the Lord, praying to the Lord, listening to what he has to say to us in his word is a conversation with the Lord. That's making those divine truths of the Lord's vineyard part of who we are, taking them in, not just planting that vineyard. And it makes a difference in the decisions that we make when we know exactly who the Lord is and exactly how he can help us. Now, another example of just planting a vineyard but having not yet taken in the divine truth of the wine that comes from his vineyard is heaven. We can have a vague sort of notion of heaven, that it is a nice place to go if you try to live a good life on earth. Now, is that the kind of idea that's really going to make you change much of what you do in your life? But what if you think about heaven from the teachings that the Lord gives us in his second coming? That in heaven, the Lord is building a home for you, a home just for you. That is the perfect home for you. And that in that home, in heaven, you'll be with the person that the Lord has for you to be married to forever, every single day in heaven in that perfect home. And that the Lord will give you the job, the use that you love doing more than anything you have ever done in your life. So every day in heaven, you'll be in this wonderful home with a wonderful husband and wife, doing together what you want to do more than anything you've ever done, every single day in heaven. Now, those are ideas of heaven that are drinking in the divine truth of the Lord that will make us change how we live. Now, changing how we live is really what brings us to that third law we read about this morning, the third requirement of being a soldier in the Lord's army so we can follow him to conquer temptation. Do you remember what that third law was? Now, of course, it involved marriage because it's good and truth coming together. That third law was that those soldiers who were betrothed to a woman needed to go back and be married with her, to her, take her for a wife before they could fight in the Lord's army. Now, we can think about this third law and maybe think about stories we've heard about a young man and woman meeting each other and falling in love and becoming betrothed or engaged, but then maybe that young man is called off to war. Now, what have we heard of happening in these kinds of situations? Have we heard of that couple making their date for being married much, much sooner so that they can be married before the man goes off to war? Now, why would we do that? Why would two people who are betrothed do that? We can think, well, on one hand, why would you do that when there's a possibility that the man, the husband, could die in combat and never, ever see his wife again on earth? Why would they go ahead and get married? Well, the answer to that question is because a marriage between a man and a woman from the Lord is a bond that lasts forever and is not bound by the end of life. That helps us understand the bond between good and truth, because that's where the bond of marriage comes from. When good and truth really come together, that is a bond that is eternal in us, that the Lord gives us. So when our lives are dedicated to doing good from the Lord, and when we've taken in the divine truth of his vineyard, those two things come together And we can understand how they come together by understanding the bonds of marriage. They're eternal. And that is what makes us ready to fight in the Lord's army against the evil spirits. And we can think of situations that will then come when we look out and we see all of the horses, the falsities of the evil spirits, wanting to convince us to do something we know we shouldn't. And their chariots, picture an ancient chariot with soldiers in it, with weapons. Those are their arguments trying to convince us that we really shouldn't do what we know from the Word, but do what they want us to do. And then picture an army that seems so much bigger than any power that we have. But dedicating our lives to doing good from the Lord, using our vineyards by taking in the wine that comes from them, and then taking the wife that we have been betrothed to, puts us in a position where we can have confidence in the words that the priest said to those soldiers before they went out to fight. And we can know exactly the truth of what was said to those soldiers. Yehovah your God is he which goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to save you. Amen.